Tickle me, tickle me, make me laugh. 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 Tickle me, tickle me, make me laugh.
During a low period of my life, one of my brothers told me this story. It's simple, really. It's about a man who gets up every day, shaves, gets dressed, eats, and walks to work. But on the way to work, he falls into a hole. And every day he does the same thing. Shaves, eats, dresses, walks, falls into a hole. My brother must have told me the same repetitive story 20 times. I was rolling my eyes. I was sick of it. Finally, he said, one day the man got up, shaved, ate, walked to work, and went around the hole. With one thought, he changed his life. Have you ever had that eureka moment when changing something major in your life had to happen, or when it simply dawned on you, why hadn't I done it this way before? I ask because it's not an easy thing to do. For the majority of us, change is the ultimate challenge. On the Joe Downtown Show today, we talked to two people who have had moments of what I'll call out-of-the-box thinking. One went from auto engineering to dancing, and a unique form of dancing, if I may say so myself. The other from simple office work and a religious upbringing to a form of electronic burlesque dancing. How they got to that point, what the change has meant to them in their lives, and how things are going ever since, good or bad, are what we'll explore today. With that, let's get to our first guest, Mr. Tony. How you doing, Tony?
I'm fine. How are you, Joe?
I'm good. When Mr. Tony, whose real name is Bernard Walter, walks anywhere, people stare, and they giggle, and they smile. He's used to it by now. More than that, he wants it. He developed his whole Mr. Tony persona to gain attention and to bring him out of an existence that, 5 years ago, he could no longer bear. The change in his life began with events that would make for a good country western song. His dog died, his wife left him and moved back to Germany, and the recession hit. Tony, an auto engineer, decided to do something different. If you could see Tony right now, your eyes would, you might get a retina burn because the guy wears all rainbow colored stuff. It's kind of hard to look away from. But tell me what was going on in your life at the time when you made this change. I think you were earning, you told me once, $200,000 a year as an auto engineer. Your personal life fell apart, so you started dancing?
Yeah, it was quite a different story. So everything changed. So it was a very sad time. My cat died, my dog died, my wife left me, took children away. And then I finally lost my job also. And it was so sad, but I didn't know what to do. And it came up and I just did stand up and dance. And it was so much fun. And all the girls came to me. So I said, oh my God, that's it. I don't want to work as an engineer anymore. Dancing is way more fun for me.
What? No, let me go back to that very first time you decided to dance. Were you at home in front of your mirror?
No. It was we played a stupid game and we won and I had to dance. And people permanently said, didn't want me to stop dancing because it was so much fun for them.
Fun or crazy? I mean, what? I've seen your dances on YouTube.
It's basically both, but for people, they enjoy the fun what they receive. So it's very fun and very entertaining for them.
So what were some of the reactions? I mean, obviously, women flocked to you because they wanted to dance with you. Were men, I mean, did anybody want to beat you up? I mean, you know, this is America after all, and anybody who looks weird.
I mean, I lived at this time in Greenville, South Carolina, and there were a bunch of wild rednecks. And so I was not their best friend, and so permanently there were every night fights around me. And once I woke up in the hospital, and three guys knocked me down. So I became best friends with police and with the bouncers, and they always supported and defended me, which was very helpful.
Because, I mean, I suppose you weren't bad for business. I mean, people probably liked the fact that you were there. Were you drawing people?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much. They enjoyed me, my persona, and all this positive atmosphere that I created.
Oh, that's fascinating. So, and it helped you get over the fact that the cat died, your wife left, the kids are gone.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it helped me over. It was quite a tough time, but it was so much fun for me, and I didn't want to miss it, actually, and it made a quite different person out of me.
When did you decide? First, you just wore like a unitard. I saw some of the old, but yeah. When did you decide to get all into this? And you know, you know the sort of the American impressions of somebody from Germany in a unitard from Saturday Night Live, the sprockets and that kind of thing. You know, I mean, you're not a stupid guy.
No,
you used that.
See, actually, there are not many German engineers working wearing different unitards. So and wigs and sunglasses. That's not very common. But it was after a while. I didn't wear in the beginning costumes, but later I came up with because it was. It came, we taped a video and said, oh, I like this unitard. I'm going to wear this unitard. And then I put on a wig and said, oh, this fits to me. And it fitted so much to my persona. And we taped the video and I didn't want to pull it off anymore. And I enjoyed when they look stupid at me.
You didn't care. That's awesome. And then then at some point you thought, hey, I've got this great idea. I'm going to move to Vegas. I'm going to take my act with me. I'm going to redesign a hearse and I'm going to make it big. Tell me about that.
Yeah, actually, I thought, I have to make a profession out of this. I have to make a job out of it. And so I started to take voice and dance classes, and I improved everything. And I said, Greenville, South Carolina is not the right place to promote this. I have to go somewhere else. I was on cruise ships. I didn't like ships. So people said, you're such a funny guy. You need to go to Vegas. And then I was here about 2.5 years ago, and they said, hey, maybe that's the right place. And I thought there would be many more characters like me here, but there aren't. And so finally, 2 years ago, I moved over and I built up this. My thought was, how can I become so much standout in Las Vegas as I'm in Greenville, South Carolina? And I thought, you know, I need to be buried in a coffin on this trip, but my coffin need to be plexiglass that everybody's going to see me. And I need about 6 dancing girls, which are very sexy and attractive, to bury me. But that's too long to walk. So what do I need? I need a hearse driving me on this trip. But a regular hearse is too boring, so I'm going to tie-dye this hearse. What I finally did, and so how this all came together.
Now, the hearse, I think it's beautiful, actually. I mean, you know, it's a hearse, but it was white, and you had $50,000 worth of work done to it.
Yeah, I spent about $50,000 for upgrades and for this amazing paint job in tie-dyed wild colors. And so it's now this happy hearse.
You're listening to the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5, The Source. The show airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. I'm Joe Shaneman, a reporter for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. You can find a podcast of this show under Joe Downtown at lasvegassun.com. And right now I'm talking to Mr. Tony, who 5 years ago changed his life, giving up a career in auto engineering to become a dancer, moved to Vegas, has a rainbow tie-dyed colored hearse, and for a while was trying to make it into the clubs as sort of an attraction. How did that go? What happened with that? It's been about a year and a half.
Yeah, maybe let me say something what happened with the hearse. I forgot about telling you this.
Yeah.
A while ago, I got a ticket on this trip for riding unrestrained in a coffin.
They did the same thing with the I remember that, the plexiglass stripper mobile, they called it, a few years before this, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got a ticket. I kept the ticket, and we even got to pull it in a music video because it's so funny. Yeah, you said about the clubs. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but by the way, do you still take the hearse out when you go to the
club? Yeah, sometimes, you know, I don't want to have any damage on the car. The paint job is so expensive and it would take so long. We're going to have a music video in maybe end of the year, early next year. And so sometimes I drive it, but actually not very much.
So what's been the reaction in the clubs? I mean, I imagine people are flocking to you, but you couldn't make any money doing it? Tell me about it. What happened?
Yeah, so in the clubs, it's more for promoting myself and bring my character out. So I wear my crazy colored suits and go out in all the night. Vegas is a city for nightclubs, and I go out in all the major clubs, XS, Surrender, Hakkasan, Light, Banks. And so
Are you one of those people they let in under the ropes? Like they see you and they want you in?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's a character and it's very fun and entertaining, and I'm very much standout. And so they look at me and I've...
Our producer is smiling because I think he saw you at one of the clubs recently. But keep going. How did it go? I mean, did you try to get the clubs to sort of pick you up as an act, as somebody who would be there to draw people?
We were thinking about it and maybe you started... to make a concept around it, and maybe I should be a dancing DJ. This was once a thought, but I have my own music since about 1.5 years, and I have to push my own music, and I actually have to bring the music on radio, which is very important.
Now, that's really interesting because, I mean, you've been a blur of activity. You also, you met a producer who I think charged you a king's ransom to produce some a CD, and you made some music. I've listened to it. In fact, you heard some of that music at the start of the show. What happened with the CD and where is it now?
CCD, I mean, I still have CCD. We recently are changing right now actually 5 songs. They're almost done and they're getting ready for radio. And it's still Mr. Tony, my funny character. But it's like a dance music. We not only can dance to it, it makes you happy also. And you have to laugh and dance, which is something new. It's a kind of innovation.
Yeah. Would you describe it as, like, remember the band Trio? Do you remember the band Trio?
Yeah, I know Trio. I remember Trio, yeah.
Is your music kind of like that?
I don't...
How would you describe your music if you had to describe it?
It's pop dance music.
Okay.
But it gives you good feelings. So it makes you really happy.
Can you, your favorite song, can you sing a little bit of it right now?
Oh, it's Happy Horse, which is Leben und Lieben, makes living love.
Well, it's called Happy Horse. Sing it like you're really singing it to a crowd.
Okay. Leben und Lieben means living love. I am such a happy guy, living without my ex-wife.
And then it goes on from there, I suppose. You're also moving into a clothing line.
Yeah.
Tell me, where did that idea come from?
So I met about a couple of months ago an executive producer, Tolga Katas is his name, and he said, you know, in order to market your concept, you are so different and so standout with your clothes. Why don't you do any clothes for women? Okay, he said this to me, and about 3 weeks later I came back and said, I have already made 5 girl dresses.
You had already designed 5?
I have made 5 girl dresses. I showed it to Vina. He said, it's crazy. I liked it. And I showed it to the girls. They all loved it. And they would buy it. And so right now I made about 15 more complete outfits, jackets. 15.
15, okay.
And I'm working on 15 more to have a complete line. And it will be something for a wild and crazy woman.
Describe it to me. Is this dance wear?
No, it's not dance wear. It's majorly wear for the club. So these are dresses, jackets, skirts, shorts, but majorly for the club, for nightlife.
When can we expect to see anything?
We are supposed to make a photo shoot next week and make one in November. I meet some other fashion designers and make something with Land Rover, and then some model should walk soon.
Land Rover?
Land Rover, yeah.
What are you doing with Land Rover?
It is, I'm an automotive engineer and I stay in cars very well, and it fits somehow together. And my executive producer Toga is bringing me together with them.
That's awesome. Mm. That's great. So things are moving ahead. I mean, it's been a long... I would say you certainly earned your stripes. You paid your dues here. A year and a half of struggle, I think.
I would say it's actually almost 5 years of struggle. But, you know, you cannot give up. That's the point.
Yeah, and just maybe within 6 months ago, you told me you were like down to your last dollar.
it changed actually when I met Toga. He said 2 important things. He said to me, you know, hey, we live only once, and why don't we do what we want? And it's fun also, okay? But now I have a clear strategy and plan behind it. So and the music got really good, and so we expect with a music video what we're gonna produce and with my crazy character to launch this early next year. And yeah, we expect to be a hit on the market.
That's awesome. Well, we'll definitely look forward to it. Mr. Tony, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Thanks, Tony. That was Mr. Tony, a dancer in rainbow colors, who you just might be hearing more about in the next coming weeks and months as he brings a multicolored clothing line to market. I'm Joe Shaneman, a Las Vegas Sun reporter who writes a regular column in Las Vegas Weekly. You can find me in both publications and online under the heading of Joe Downtown. If you have any ideas for future shows, please send me an email at joe.downtown@lasvegassun.com or to my Twitter account at joedowntownlv. As you listen, you might hear the tinkling of silverware or the bustle of people in the background. That's because we tape at the Beat Coffee House in the Emergency Arts Building at 6th and Fremont Streets downtown. Though the show is taped, we hope to soon be broadcasting live so we can take calls and comments and questions. For the second half of today's show, which is about people who think outside the box, people who have had a eureka moment in their lives where they changed everything, we're talking to burlesque dancer Darla Lush. Darla grew up in Cleveland to a large Catholic family of 3 sisters and 2 brothers. Her mother was a former young. Her sister is a Bible translator. She has a cousin who's a priest. So to say she's steeped in religion is probably an understatement. But as a young person, she didn't rebel so much as she simply didn't follow the path of everyone else in the family. So when she turned 18, she got out. She moved on. She ended up in San Francisco, then Los Angeles. And about 3 years ago, her life took a turn. Darla, what happened then, and what caused that change?
Well, I studied sculpture in art school, and I was very much involved in the arts. I studied sculpture, photography, and fine arts. But, you know, for some reason that wasn't enough for me. I always had aspirations to be a showgirl.
Even as a kid?
Yes, yeah, actually.
Even as a kid? Is that because of the biblical picture you see in the Bible or something? Or what?
No, it was because, you know, when a parent prohibits their child from doing something or seeing something, like, what do you think happens? Is going to be interested in what that is. So when I was younger and the movie Showgirls came out,
an Academy Award winner, right?
My mother was talking to her friend and her son. She overheard her son saying, like, you know what movie I want to see? I want to see Showgirls. And so my mom was just livid that she heard her friend's son say this. And, you know, I heard this, you know, through the telephone conversation. And I was like, Showgirls, what's that? Like, I was so intrigued, you know?
Mistake number one by the mom. Yeah.
So ever since I was little, I was fascinated, you know, by showgirls and by Las Vegas culture.
You're 27 now, so that was maybe when you were about 10, 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
By that time, you were artistic, gifted as an artist.
Yes.
And yeah. You did sketches that you used to hide. Mm-hmm. From your parents? What were those?
I did. You know, just I love to draw the nude figure. So,
And had they seen that, would they have, like, whipped you to within an inch of your life?
No. No, there was no physical punishment, but there was definitely, like, it was just something I hid because I don't feel that they would ever understand. You know.
Right. Yeah. Why go through all that? So 3 years ago, what happened? What caused this change for you to get into burlesque?
Well, I put myself through art school by working in Las Vegas as a dancer because, you know, private school is very expensive and, you know, my parents weren't rich and I'm very ambitious. So I do what I need to do to educate myself. As an artist, it's very hard not to be inspired by your environment. So I was trying to keep the two worlds separate. I was trying to be here in Las Vegas and dance on the weekends and then go back and go to art school and study. But, you know, it just so happened that in my artwork, I became, you know, inspired by Las Vegas culture and I was interested in incorporating it into my art, and I was studying the combination of art and technology, and
you were dancing in burlesque.
I was doing a little bit of burlesque, okay. And for me, it was a way to, you know.
You sort of have a classic pinup look: the dark hair, light skinned, heavy eyebrows, and right now you have on very red lipstick. So people had always told you as well that you look like a pinup.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd gotten into that, and when I met you in July this last summer, you were doing a photo shoot in the El Cortez, and that was part of you did it here because of the old Vegas vibe. And what was different about that photo shoot as well?
That was the project I've been working on has been in development, and so that was when we first started. Working on the projection mapping, and we didn't have a studio space, so we rented a room in the El Cortez to use as a studio space.
Why the El Cortez? Why Vegas? Why not do it in L.A.? You and your producer are both from L.A.
Well, you know, I live in both places. I travel back and forth. Right now, I am am a professional gambler. So I come to Vegas for work. And,
oh, so it was a matter of convenience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, my technical producer who executes the projection mapping, he comes to Vegas sometimes to work on it. Then I go to LA sometimes to work on it with him.
Well, let's talk about projection mapping. I'm sure a lot of people have no clue what that is. I had no clue until I'd met you guys and you told me what it is. But the way I've described it to people is you can be standing there naked, but nobody will know it because of the images that are projected on your body. It looks like you're wearing clothing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in projection mapping, any 3D surface can be transformed into a screen for projecting video. And so in my burlesque show, my body becomes the screen for projecting video.
So you have to stand there perfectly still. What if you move?
We use motion tracking. So we have a device that we use for motion tracking so that the video moves along with my body so I can dance around and perform. And in actuality, I'm nude, but when you view the show, the projections act as virtual clothing that come on and off me.
Can you peel the virtual clothing off?
Well, it's hands-free, so I don't have to peel it off. It just...
Oh, I
comes
see.
Off magically.
Now, have you done this anywhere yet, or is this just something you've done in a studio?
This has been in development. You know, I'm an independent showgirl. I'm not a part of any production studio or any larger show. So I've been working on it as a startup independently. And I do actually have a show coming up on November 9th at the Plaza Hotel downtown.
What time?
The time is to be announced.
Is it part of a, is it an intro? Are you the first act of a show?
It is part of the Grindhouse Girls Burlesque Show.
Okay.
So that's an already existing variety show. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be a feature act in it.
By the way, you're listening to the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 The Source. The show airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. I'm Joe Shainham, a reporter for the Las Vegas Sun, the Las Vegas Weekly. I'm talking to Darla Lush, a burlesque dancer who is adding technology to the act. Something called projection mapping, where she would be standing naked, but it doesn't look like it because the images of clothing are projected onto her body. And her body can move, and the clothing moves with her. Now, is anybody, are other burlesque dancers picking this up? I wrote about this, 5 months ago. Has anybody said, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm stealing this idea?
I mean, hopefully not, but if anybody does, I have many, many tricks to pull out of my hat. So
sure,
I'd like to see anybody keep up with me.
I'd like to see that hat. Now you're, and you have another device, you're adding something to it. I don't think you want to talk specifically about it, but in fact, you told me about it before the show. I have no idea what it is.
Well, I'm very interested in embracing new technology, not being afraid of it, because today with the new technology we have opportunities to use it that we've never had before. So I am really interested in taking advantage of that and incorporating it into my performance. One thing that is a recent invention for artists is a circuit board that you can connect to sensors and motors and lights. And it gives commands to those things to do certain behaviors.
Huh.
So it's kind of like, an external device in between the computer world and the tactile world. So, for example...
And you can use this somehow on stage.
Yes, I can.
Have you done it yet?
I'm working on an initiative to incorporate it into my show. So you'll just have to wait and see. One thing, for example...
Sensors on the body. So the audience isn't going to have sensors attached to parts of their bodies, are
they? Not yet, but you might be onto something. it's hard to describe, without seeing it, but I just read an article about the Arduino and somebody attached it to a sensor, attached the sensor to a houseplant, and whenever the houseplant... gets dry, needs water, the Arduino sends a tweet to that person's Twitter account and reminds them to water the plant.
Oh, that's crazy.
So that's just an example of what you can do with this new tool. So, you know, I'm just really interested in, you know, incorporating it into a showgirl show.
So, back home, what does the ex-nun think of this?
Well...
Do you talk to your mom about this at all?
Not really. I'm probably my mother's worst nightmare.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, you know, I actually wouldn't have
with
it
that
any
glow,
other
how
way.
Could you be, how could you be your mom's worst nightmare? You look angelic.
Well, that's maybe deceiving. No, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, I'm all about owning who I am.
That sounds like you had a lot of therapy, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you're just good at self-analysis. But, anyways, I have to say, you know, you talked about being a gambler, but not just in life in the casinos. And just as an aside, you can actually make a living. That's how you make your living.
Pretty much. That is how I make my living.
Is it because you can spot a sucker at the blackjack table or the poker table?
No. I got skills to pay the bills.
You have a formula. I mean, you follow
it. Yeah, I have a system. But, you know, my whole life is just, I gamble. I never know what's going to happen every day. Even with, you know, the 3D striptease, it's a gamble because I put my own finances into it. And with a startup, you gamble. You never know, you know, if it's going to take off or if it's not. But I'm always okay with the end result, you know, because the creative results is more valuable to me than the monetary results. So
that's the way it should be. I think. So we've been talking to Darla Lush, a burlesque dancer. She has a show coming up. When's your show coming up at the Plaza?
It's November 9th at the Plaza Hotel downtown, and it's part of the Grindhouse Girls Burlesque Variety Show.
You also have a website. What's the website?
My website is darlalush.com. And the time for the show is to be announced, so sign up on my mailing list for more information.
Thank you so much for being here, Darla. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This has been the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, The Source. Thanks for listening.
So Mr. Tony, I don't want to go. Please, Mr. Tony, I don't want to go. Say to me, please, Mr. Tony, I don't wanna go. Please, Mr. Tony,
don't make love. Hey, all the ladies love, no Cool J. Swagger so smooth and groovy. Got your mama in his jacuzzi, Mr. Tony. Get the ladies two at a time out in Vegas. Take them home and show them things that'll make them say,
I don't wanna go.